What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. In this episode, you're going to hear the audio from a very special conversation I had with Jordan Deffenbaugh and Jim Hodapp for our Celebrity Ask Strongtowns webcast. Jordan and Jim are primary organizers of two of our most impactful local conversations, Strongtown Sioux Falls and Strong Indy. If you're unfamiliar with local conversations, these are groups of Strongtown's readers and members who share a geography and meet to discuss how the Strongtown's movement can make their unique place stronger. And since we launched the program a few years ago, we've seen groups across the country take action to make their places stronger. We've seen groups host community potlucks to generate neighborhood-boosting ideas. We've seen groups use guerrilla gardening to activate neglected spaces. And most important, we've seen groups inspire their peers to embrace a new approach to building strong places. An approach that doesn't follow the status quo of top-down planning, but instead embraces a bottom-up, citizen-led approach that ensures everyone has a say in the process. In this episode, you're going to hear the stories behind Strongtown Sioux Falls and Strong Indy. Plus, learn from the experts on how to build strong, neighborhood-boosting community groups, including how to use your observations to inspire a group of advocates, how to effectively gather people around your mission, whether or not you see yourself as a natural organizer, and lastly, how you can use your group to generate the kind of neighborhood investments that create strong towns. Enjoy. So what's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses. I'm the community builder at Strongtowns. And welcome to another edition of the Celebrity Ask Strongtowns webcasts. We have a great discussion today. You are going to learn how to create your own strong neighborhood-boosting local conversation. And if you're unfamiliar with local conversations, these are groups of Strongtowns readers and members who share a similar geography and meet to discuss how the Strongtowns movement relates to their place and hopefully along the way start taking some action as well. And I'll tell you what, since I joined Strongtowns, working with these local conversations is undoubtedly one of my most favorite things to do. You hear all the time at Strongtowns, we don't need more top-down planning, we need a bottom-up revolution. And that happens through our local conversations, the people who are in the neighborhoods, observing where people struggle, willing to address those struggles in an incremental way. That is how we're going to build strong towns. And lucky enough for us today, we got two of the primary organizers of undoubtedly our most impactful local conversations. We got Jim Hodapp out of Strong Indy. Jim, what's going down?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we got Jordan Deffenbaugh out of Strongtowns, Sioux Falls. What's going down, Jordan?
Not much.
I hear you. Well, fellas, thanks so much for joining us on the webcast. Really look forward to hearing your stories, the insights that you have to share for listeners. I know this will be a really informative webinar for myself as well. Really excited to hear the things you have to share. And members, for the folk who are watching this webcast live, just like any past Ask Strongtowns webcasts, we encourage you throughout the webcast to submit your live questions. If you hover over the little window that's showing up on your screen, you'll see a Q&A box in the footer. Click that, put in your questions, and we'll knock them out. So we're going to spend the first part of the conversation. I got some questions prepared for Jim and Jordan, give them an opportunity to share their story, their philosophy of community building. And then the latter part of the conversation will knock out some of these live member questions as well. So as you're hearing Jim and Jordan share their story, be pondering questions that you have about
creating your own local conversations. We got the experts in the house, so now's the time to ask those questions and help give you the motivation and education that you need to start your own local conversations. So let's get started. Jim and Jordan, to get us started, tell us a little bit about your local conversations and how long you guys have been meeting. Jim, let's start with you.
Let's see. So I've been roughly meeting with my group since about end of 2016, early 2017. You want to know a little bit about how it got started?
Yeah, tell us a little bit how you got started.
Yeah. So I actually started just with frustration, as sure. A lot of these things do, particularly in the United States. And
I see Jordan smiling too. He knows.
So I was a frequent commenter on one of our local newspapers online, our business journal, because they have really good coverage about what's going on, you know, development wise and infrastructure wise around the city. And I had just had one too many complaints for my own personal taste. I just decided, you know, I need to see if anybody else cares about Indianapolis and making it better, making it more urban in the way that I appreciate. And so I just said, I'm going to create a group. I'm going to try and find my people. And so I went on meetup.com, started a group, didn't even have the name for it yet. You know, I think I originally was calling it Strong Indianapolis, but Strong Indy just rolls off the tongue better. And so I started meeting. My first meeting, I had about 10 questions prepared. And we met at our local city market downtown, just because I wanted beer with it. And, you know, every good conversation has beer involved.
Jordan rolls with the tacos, beer. Got to have some food and drink to start that conversation.
We have to, yeah. So, much to my surprise, I think I gave about a month's notice on this, and about 20 people showed up, which was way more than I was expecting.
That's awesome.
And so we just started having conversations, and after that, I just kind of continued on that format for a while.
And if I understand correctly, I think Strong Indy is like an OG local conversation. Like, y'all have been meeting for a little while now, right? I know before I was hired last June.
Yep. For probably about two to 3 years now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Jordan, tell us a little bit about Strongtown Sioux Falls and how long y'all have been getting together.
We started, I think it was back in June, May or June of last year. It was just after Chuck came into town because Downtown Sioux Falls, the association, Downtown Association here, brought Chuck in. We had there was a really good turnout for it, but then after he left, there wasn't really a place to talk. Like, sure. There wasn't a thing. The next action wasn't clear. And I talked with a local reporter, a local journalist, and he was really keyed. He was living in Cincinnati prior to moving to Sioux Falls and was very interested in how cities are built and how they grow and how you build them, make them resilient. And he really keyed into Strong Towns, and we were like, you know, we just need to like have a meeting and do these things. And at first, there's this local conversation. We can sign up for this and start here. And we sort of were like, you know, we need to not try and blast people with information on this. We got to take it slow. So the first month we met weekly, every Wednesday, 5:30 at our local coffee shop that also sold beer. Just got to have that. and we just met. And it was just us two. We invited people.
Yeah.
We invited tons of people to come out. But for like the first month, it was us two. And a few other people, like, and then I was at, we, I did, there was one particular meeting where I was the only one who showed up. The other guy couldn't make it. And I was just waiting there. And then all of a sudden there was this other group that was sitting down talking about something that was about like food forest or whatnot, permaculture. And I went over and talked to them and let them know, well, this is what I'm doing, whatever. They were really interested.
Yeah.
A few of those people came to my next week's event.
I love it.
And then from there it built. I mean, yeah. I think the key with it was I was really patient, and I mean, it really hasn't been that long when you think about it. It's only been a year.
Sure. But
when you're starting off things like this, you want it to like pop right away. Yeah. And it's like, no, sometimes you're going to be the only one there. Sometimes. But then other times you have, like, we had a potluck we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
I had 50 people show up, a lot of people that I'd never seen before. And it's just like, it's not that people don't care. It's that sometimes schedules and things don't align, and sometimes they do, but you just got to keep chugging.
That's right. And the theme I'm capturing already from both Jim and Jordan's background on their local conversations is, you know, consistency. You know, Jordan, you guys set a time, whether it's Jordan sipping solo on an Americano by himself in the coffee shop, Jim doing whatever he's got going down in Indiana, gonna show up regardless. And then I'm also understanding this theme of, you know, you didn't spend a bunch of time waiting to create that perfect local conversations website, or making sure you spent countless hours in Photoshop to ensure that Facebook profile picture was money. You had this idea. You saw how Strong Towns related to your own communities, and you went after it. Tell us a little bit about why, if someone is listening to this webinar, they have that passion, just to trust that and incrementally grow it, as opposed to thinking you need to check off all the boxes of what they may have seen other community organizations follow.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I think that's we think too much and do too little. And I think in these cases, it's like, it's okay to fail. And even when you think you've failed, you probably succeeded in the eyes of many people that were involved mm-hmm. with the event. You just got to be okay with just like throwing it out there. Anymore now, it's like, I'll throw an event. I'll have a date, a space, figure out where I'm getting food. And
food is critical.
Yeah, it's critical. That absolutely critical. But then past that, putting out a Facebook event, just see what happens.
Yeah. To piggyback on that, I think action is better than perfect planning, especially on a topic like this, right? So U.S. cities need so much help. There is no city in the U.S. that is exempt from this, no matter how big or small. And just do something. Find your people. And once you find your people, then you can start to hone in on the conversation. That's why I think action is way better than trying to pre-plan anything. Right? I think it was like at least a year before Strong Indy ever had a website, right? All we had was the meetup page. Then the most successful other thing I did kind of right away was a Facebook group where we could kind of chat. And Facebook group is really what drove our offline momentum. I guess the online and then offline was meeting. So those two together really got people connected, both in person and then in between when they're at their jobs and they're frustrated with their jobs. They could go into a group and complain about Indy or talk about specific things that we wanted to do, right?
Yeah, those are some helpful tips. I appreciate y'all. So Jim and Jordan, I want to flash back to the early days of your local conversations. Jim, you mentioned that kind of Strong Indy was born out of frustration. You were just frustrated with the development pattern and the conversations that were happening in Indianapolis. Let's expand on this a little more. I want to understand, what were y'all observing in your communities that helps you understand, hey, I found this great Strong Towns movement. I need to get this conversation happening in my place. What did y'all observe where you could find that kind of that marriage between your own community and the Strong Towns approach?
Oh man, yeah, I would say Indianapolis is a poster child for what Chuck talks about, you know, of like decline and just the economics. I mean, that was the big thing that I observed. So Indy in so many respects, it's a city that is crumbling. It's a city that has far more infrastructure than people to pay for it. And I didn't understand that at first. And Chuck came back in 2014, the fall of 2014, and I saw him. And that is the first time where I had an aha moment. I didn't know what the solution was, but at least I understood why Indy's infrastructure and the general look to things looked the way that it did. It finally made most sense to me. Indy's infrastructure finally had a place where I could dive into, right, a narrative. And I wanted to investigate that. Indy really fits that well, though. It's got just a lot of infrastructure that's done cheaply. It's got a lot of infrastructure that's done just rapidly. And then, like I said, it just has way too much. And so, like, Chuck's narrative and Strongtown's narrative around this fit it really, really well. And it continues to, right? It's just finally predicts what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Jordan, what were you observing in Sioux Falls?
That's a lot to unpack. A lot of frustration. Mostly because I had spent 10 years prior coming back to my hometown of Sioux Falls, traveling the world, exploring, studying all sorts of how we build cities. I became very interested in architecture and all these things. And I came back to Sioux Falls and I just saw, like, we're actually on the other end of the spectrum in terms of a growth of a city. We're growing like gangbusters. There is so much money coming into this community and so much growth and development that this is an opportunity to become a poster child for a more new urbanist concepts. Now, just to throw out a little bit of a statistic for Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls has approximately 185,000 in the city limits, 240 in the metro. There are 3,300 miles of roads in Sioux Falls. Omaha is 5,500, just to give you an idea. 80% of our taxes for the next 4 years are going to go to new road construction and repair.
Wow.
That's what we're worshiping. That's what we were investing in. And it's like we're constantly pointing out, like, downtown's popping right now. Downtown, we just got the Levitt, where there's 30 free concerts all year. Next year, it's going to be 50. There's the Washington Pavilion, the museums. There's all sorts of a restaurant scene that's growing. It's becoming something. But it's also because you can walk. You don't have to drive. And it's like people can't put two and two together where it's like, what? Why is it doing so well? It's the buildings are old. No, it's probably because it's centered around humans more. So I think a lot of this, and I will say this though, frustration can be a trap because you can become so frustrated that you become so incredibly negative that no one will listen to you. And I think, especially here, this is Midwest nice country, you got to play nice. You can't be too negative. And you got to celebrate the wins. You have to celebrate when somebody's doing, hey, like there was a this weekend, Joe Batchelor with DTSF just got a crosswalk painted, multicolored tactical urbanism project. And you got to point at that and celebrate that as much as possible. Like, there might be parts of it that you don't like, and I don't have any. I think it's great, but like people oftentimes are like, well, it's not perfect. He did it. Just celebrate the fact that it happened, and then it may happen again now.
That's right. A few episodes ago on It's the Little Things podcast, we had Greta McLean, who's a public art advocate, and I asked her a similar question. He said, you knock out one great project, how do you continue that momentum? She said, you document and you celebrate. Let's see small demonstrations of our vision, document it, uplift those people who took the initiative. It's huge.
Yep.
And listeners, Jim and Jordan just did an excellent job of sharing what they observe in their communities and inspire them to start local conversations. Jordan, I know you're not a planner or an engineer or anything. Jim, are you? I don't think you're either. And I hope this is inspiring.
Yeah, I do.
Everyone who's, yeah.
I like to read stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I hope this is inspiring for everyone who, you know, viewing this webcast, this is going to turn into a podcast later. So listeners as well, trust your observations. I mean, if you believe that strong tense movement can make your own place stronger, trust those observations. Don't get too caught up in the technical parts. If you have that passion and you get some peers around you who can bring up their own expertises, you can still create a really strong local group without having to be, you know, that planner who's coming in to save the day.
To piggyback on Jordan, right? Like, take action, find your people, use your momentum, use your frustration to build your initial momentum, right? So you're trying to solve a real problem that you feel. That's important.
Yeah.
You have to feel it. But don't focus on the negative, just like Jordan was saying. Focus on, you are the momentum builder. You're the orchestrator, and you're trying to amass as many people who agree with you. Forget about the people who do not, because you'll just get stuck in the mud.
Fellows, I want to talk about the organizing part of having a local conversation. You know, we had 22 members register for this webcast. These are our Strong Towns advocates. These are the people who we want to be starting local conversations in their place. However, and I fall into this group too, they may not see themselves as organizers. You know, like, I understand that we need to have more streets to build community wealth. I understand we need to slow the cars. We need to invest in our downtowns. But I struggle to maybe share that message and be a leader to gather my peers. Are y'all natural organizers? Jordan, I know you're running theater productions. You probably already the answer for you, but I would love to hear, do you guys see yourself as organizers? Was there challenges or obstacles as you were trying to gather peers around this mission?
Even with my background in theater as a director, because that entire art form is collaboration. You mm-hmm. have to organize people. Community organizing is different. It's a different beast. It's more chaos, actually. But what I've discovered, how you become a leader is first, buy a crock pot. Next, go to the grocery store, find the ingredients for a chili. There's a lot of great recipes online. Make the chili and then invite people to eat the chili. And then boom, you are now a community organizer.
Beautiful.
That's it.
At least in the Midwest.
That's yeah. Midwest, like, potlucks.
That 10 bean chili. Like,
but I, in all seriousness, I think lead with food and or lead with things that it's not a hard sell to get somebody there. Like, if it doesn't feel like work and that this is actually an enjoyable experience and then I'm going to engage in this conversation about these things mm-hmm. that I was unaware of, it just makes it that much easier.
Yeah. Jim, what was your experience?
Sorry, what was the original question again?
Yeah. So do you see yourself as a natural organizer where you saw this connection, you were enthusiastically ready to start this group and ring the bells and get everyone involved? Or did you have to overcome some, you know, just wonderful parts of our different personalities to be able to get this group together?
In some ways, I think I am, but this was like really my experiment in that too. So I didn't know if I was going to be or not. And there were certain things that I still need work on, right? So I'm not like a natural speech giver. I still get really nervous. I need a lot of practice in that. And there were times when I've been up in front of the Indianapolis City Council or the Historic Preservation Commission, and people have even told me, like, after the fact, they saw me on TV and they're like, "Were you nervous? Because you really looked nervous." I was like, "Thanks." Was it that obvious? But as far as organizing people, I think I am in some respects. I like people. I like hearing people's stories.
Yeah.
So I think if you're a good listener and you're frustrated enough, motivated enough to take action, just ask people, get them together and ask them about their stories and give them good food and amazing things will happen. I think that's literally about all you need to do.
Yes. Jordan, I want you to piggyback on this because this is how Strongtown Sioux Falls really was created. You started off with, you know, food, bringing people together. You didn't have to be Mr. Community Organizer who prepared a 5-minute speech and pressed his suit the night before.
Nope.
Tell us about the community potluck y'all had and why listeners should consider starting their own if they want to do a local conversation.
So I wasn't wearing a suit. I was wearing a sweater. It was very comfortable. I think I got it from the women's section of a vintage shop. But anyway, the point is I think people have had enough formality in how they deal with civic matters.
That's a good point.
You got to make it fun. You make it engaging. And food is key, as if you haven't gathered that from this. And more than just food, the essentials of what you need to survive. I think community is part of that. Mm-hmm. I think people come for the food and they leave with community. They leave with like-minded friendships.
I agree, Jordan.
Yeah, and it's like, and I think the more you can, I mean, because that's really what we're getting at when we're talking about strong towns is like community and community action. And
that's the point, right?
Yeah, that's the point.
These groups are supposed to be almost starting and emulating what you want your town or your city to be. Like, you're just trying to create a mini microcosm of that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's a book called Emergent Strategies. And it's about movement building. And it's all about, like, if you want to see a behavior happen more on a large scale across the entirety of a community, you need to start with the seed. You need to start with a small action. And before any big thing happens, it needs to happen at the lowest level possible.
Yeah.
So if you want bike racks all over the city, well, you got to get one built. Get one started. And if you want to get a conversation, you want people to actually, you want a culture to change, you got to get get those early adopters initiated and start replicating that behavior.
And listeners, what I hope is encouraging for all of you is that with local conversations, you don't have to be the expert. In fact, we say, you know what? You're the expert in your unique place. Mm-hmm. We're not going to come and say, hey, you start a local conversation, prepare a 5-minute presentation for the group. You know your place best. You know its struggles. You know its needs. Strong towns, we create resources to help with that. But with local conversations, you're able to be in this environment where you can just have these informal, raw conversations about where our places struggle and what we can do about it.
I think Jim touched on this a bit. It's the questions.
Mm.
Like, have a lot of questions.
Yep. Yeah.
Declarative statements, like, so I'm running I run a Facebook group and then the actual physical conversations. And anymore, when I post something, it's always ending with a question so that people are well, what do you feel about it?
Yeah.
I might say, well, this is how I feel about it, but what do you feel about it? And then, especially if it's a local conversation and we have a new person come in, it's never been to it, the attention goes to them and it's like, what's your deal? What are you into? Like, and ask, be inquisitive and be curious as a leader.
Yeah.
Just be incredibly curious.
Yeah. No assumptions.
Yep. Yeah. No assumptions and just ask people questions as much as possible.
And the questions keep the conversation going where statements do not. Statements are definitive and you're saying, I'm not really open-minded to anything that might be different to what I'm thinking here. But questions are a little bit leading. They can be leading, certainly, a little bit of what you think. But then they also keep the conversation, what's the next step? And what can we do together? That's the most important thing. You're trying to drive the, all right, so I've got a group that's for increased transit, and I've got a group that's against. And I'm not trying to take sides. I'm trying to foster a communication, a conversation together of what makes the most sense for Indianapolis or wherever you live. That's really what you're trying to foster here.
Perfect. Listeners, again, this is the live Ask Strong Town Celebrity Webcast. We're going to have a few more questions for Jim and Jordan, But again, if you have questions for the fellows about how you can start your own local conversation, anything you have that you want to share, please click that Q&A box below and submit your question. All right, fellas, I got another question for you. I've thrown a community potluck, whatever's going down, to build excitement around this group. We've started to have these raw, honest conversations about where our neighborhoods struggle and what we want to see addressed. Everyone is super excited sharing their ideas. Help us understand how we take that first step. I'm going to share a story. My sweet mother had a little neighborhood group for a bit, and they wanted to beautify the entrance to their neighborhood. So a few people said, okay, like, we're going to plant some flowers, and that's a great way to start. Of course. Mm-hmm. You have some other folks saying, I don't know, we need to look into this $10,000 sprinkler system. I really think we need to figure this out first before we plant the flowers. I don't want to go flower every day. People are sharing their ideas about what they want to do to make their neighborhood stronger. How can we help everyone take that Strong Towns neighborhoods first approach, really zero in and just take that next step of their idea?
Yeah, I can start on that. So this is really tricky. This is one of the trickiest things I think about leading a group well, is you're going to have all kinds of people coming in, and they're all going to have their priorities, and you're just a bunch of people there that, you know, nobody's paid, nobody has to be there. So how do you set your group's priorities? And I think you do need a little bit of a period of complete open-mindedness. So brainstorm, let's put it all out there. Start with the problems. What are the problems of the city that are important to the people that are here? And what is important, another list, what's important that to us that we actually solve, that we would like to see sooner rather than later? And I think you do it based on time too, right? So we can't get to everything, time's limited. So prioritize it by what do we want to happen this year? What do we want to happen in the next month? What do we want to happen in the next 5 years? You know, that kind of thing can really help to prioritize things, because you can't do it all. And if you have your group kind of all just throwing ideas at you all the time in a bunch of chaos, it's going to be an incredibly frustrating experience. And Strong Indy suffered from that in the beginning. Mm. And not only that, you're going to feel the pressure as the leader to do it all. And you're going to say, like, oh, I can't. I'm just exhausted. Right? There's so much. The city needs so much. So concentrate on a few things max and do them well. And you might get into them and realize, you know, this isn't it. We gotta swap one out.
Jordan, what do you think? And I want you to talk about the taco event as well that y'all recently threw.
So we definitely look at the Strong Town Sioux Falls Facebook group as well as our meetings as a discussion group. Strong Towns itself, the Strong Town Sioux Falls group, does not do specific actions. It is a forum. We talk about ideas. That's what we do. But the members that go to Strong Towns do stuff. They connect with other people to do stuff. We don't ask for consensus. We don't ask for, like, you don't have to go do the thing with that person. But we're going to be, you can come to the group or come to, like, we just had a gentleman's trying to slow down traffic on a particular avenue. It's not in my part of town. I don't know much about it, but I'm going to be very willing. I'm going to be supportive. I'm going to engage in the ideas. I'm going to help in that way. And then he's going to go do the thing. And on that same point, I ran an event called Citizen Taco a few weeks ago. We had 25 people show up. Again, I made the event in probably about 30 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Citizen Taco mean taking action, creating opportunity. So we eat tacos. That's the first part. And then the second part is people present an idea that they can execute in 30 days.
Love it.
They talk with people about it. The whole space is about, like, okay, identifying barriers. So, like, it could be something like, I need to talk to this person with the city. Who is that person? or I need to get a hold of this resource. Where can I find that resource? It's all about a lot of it times, if you remove the barriers, you'll come down to the point where the only thing stopping it is the person who wants to do it. Mm. So they just have to do it.
Yeah.
Mine is a tool library. I'm assembling a tool library at a local makerspace. I've had all the stuff lined up for a long time. I just haven't pulled the trigger. Well, now I'm forcing myself to pull
the
and do it. So yeah, it's a simple event, but it's been working. People are.
That's awesome.
So yeah.
And then we document and celebrate.
Yeah. Document and celebrate. Exactly.
Love it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. You bring up a good point though. Like there, you need to figure out what fits, I think, for your town or city best, what style you want. Are you going to be a group that takes action and implements things yourself as a group? Or are you going to be more of like organizers that are kind of like volunteers for loan to other people to partner with? And you can do both, right? It's not one or the other. But I think whether you do one or the other or both really depends on the local context of what your city needs.
I think the key is that back to our what we've said before is you kind of have to go with the flow. Like there's going to be a time where it's like strong towners, we need to like do something about this and show up and organize. Or it's going to be other times where it's just going to be a little bit chaos. I think if you let with the people that are in the space, if you go into the realm of say like becoming a full fledged nonprofit with a board of directors and things like that, it defeats the purpose of like this sort of bottom up citizen engaged. How are we going to do this? When are we going to come together? When are we going to separate and do our stuff?
Agreed. And if you ever need that, that's probably years down the road.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can give you an example too of what you said, Jordan. So, our niche that we really found in Strong Indy, one of the niches was to go to Indianapolis City Council or the Indiana Historic Preservation Commission meetings and advocate for strong developments, right? Mm-hmm. Like giving those speeches, coming up with the arguments, using Strong Towns repository of fantastic information as some of the statistics. It works really, really well. And just putting it out there, because as you'll see, the people on the other side that show up, if anybody even does, are just kind of like grumps. They're just like, we don't want that, right? And you're coming with some well thought out, bring a little bit of passion kind of arguments, and you know that goes a long way. So that was our niche that we filled for Indy.
Awesome, Jim. All right, fellas, I have a question from a member, and this was next on my list of questions as well. So this works out well.
Awesome.
This is from Ivan. Thank you, Ivan, out of Hawaii. So happy you could join us today. Ivan asks, at what point do you engage with politicians and local government? So I want to add on this a little bit too. You know, having these citizen-led investments are great. We're taking action. But of course, we want our demonstrations to show our elected officials that they too should be making these kinds of investments. It's not just the residents do tackle urbanism, we do mega developments. We need to work together to embrace this neighborhoods first approach. How would y'all respond to Ivan's question about when do you engage politicians and local governments?
Well, you got to walk a tightrope in a way. They are not your enemy. They are not your enemy.
Yeah.
Don't try to fight them. You will set yourself back so long if you go and try and attack public officials. You need to understand where they're coming from. You understand like especially who they're representing in terms of their constituents. I literally had there's a city councilor that on a message thread said, I completely agree with these principles. I bike to work every single day, all these things. But I represent a district that is suburban, and I have to represent those people's interests. So understanding that these people, there's a lot of things going on. They're not black and white enemies or anything like that. and start to develop a nice, easygoing relationship, sort of like breadcrumb things, invite things, just be, I mean, be cordial and just kill them with kindness, essentially. And it's interesting, the timing of this question. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing a ride along with the mayor's chief of staff, where we're going to identify locations for one tactical placemaking and mural projects.
Cool.
The city is actually very interested. And this doesn't happen. This is not a normal thing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. Anyone else doing what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. So it's like, okay, it's working, I think. So I just say, I think you're going to, frustration will come. They will do things that don't make any sense, in especially against Strongtown's logic. But just be graceful in your arguments and develop a relationship of kindness.
Yep, I can piggyback off of that too. Yeah. That theme of develop a relationship is where you start. So I think even in the biggest of cities in the US, right, even if it's getting to know your local councilor, you may not have access to the mayor if it's a multi-million person city, but you know, you might even build up to that, but get to know them. They're just people, right, with opinions, and they're imperfect. They are not trying to work against you, typically. Mm-hmm. But if you get to know them and they know who you are, just, you know, a lot is really possible. Just invite them to coffee or go to their office and have a conversation. Tell them what your group's about, what you'd like to do, and what can we do to work together. It really is as simple as that. And what comes after that will become a lot more obvious to you. So I went on about the first year of Strong Indie, I went on like almost every week having coffee with somebody different in the city or business leadership or chamber of commerce or that, and nobody turned me down. Nobody, right? And I met so many people. And then they all started following Strong Indie on Twitter, and several joined the Facebook group. And they're involved in the conversation. And now we have our own podcast too, right? And we're interviewing like upcoming council members on their views on certain things, right? So the main theme here is get to know them, and you have no preconceived notion of what will blossom, because anything's possible from there.
Jordan, that's a similar experience for you?
Yeah, very similar. And I think this goes back to, in terms of becoming organizers, you're not going to get a bunch of people to join simply because you post certain articles on a Facebook group.
Mm.
You got to talk to people. That's how you develop the relationships, and that's
how you like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have coffee and be like, hey.
Yeah. Let's sit down.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, you're not just this anomaly floating around on the internet. You're a person. So like, they understand, they have a lot more context of where you're coming from with any sort of your arguments. And so like, if you're trying to get something done, set up a meeting, you can find their email. If they're a public official, you can definitely find their email. It's usually just their name and then the city domain. So it's just set up a time. And I bet you will be able to get someone's attention.
Thank you, fellas. That was very helpful. I got another member question. And Jim, I think you'll be in a great position to answer this, because it's about passing on the reins if you're a leader of an organization. Dave Alden says, I'm the executive director of Petaluma Urban Chat. It's an organization near San Francisco. They have 3 monthly gatherings with different focuses and a combined average of nearly 100 people. He said, it's a really active group. However, but I have no heir apparent. If I'm hit by a bus tomorrow, I'd expect Urban Chat to disappear in 6 months. How do we grow the next generation of leaders?
Yeah, so So I had to do that. So about just over a year ago, I decided to move up to Chicago for various personal reasons. And I needed to start handing over the reins of Strong Indie to, you know, some of those folks who are already involved. And I think first advice is know your members well. So just take an assessment. Who do you think is naturally passionate about what you're doing? Like, is always showing up, is volunteering anyways to do stuff with you, and who has some leadership capability, and start with a conversation with them and just say, you know, be honest, I have no plans to, get out of this organization right now, but if I ever did, or, you know, heaven forbid somebody got hit by a bus, I want this to keep going. So, what's your interest level? How do you feel about that? And just plant those seeds. And you know, honestly, take a hard look too. How much are you delegating already? That's really important too. Are you trying to do everything yourself on a weekly basis, or are other people able to do stuff? So if you're already delegating, then you're getting that natural buy-in and your organization is already more prepared for that than you think.
Yeah, all of that completely true. It's a matter of how you're engaging with your existing members, how you're empowering them already, cultivating them as leaders. Like, you should make sure that everything that you're doing is sort of like making it so that they're a leader in their own niche within Strong Towns, so that when you do, and it's a when question, it's not an if, it's a when, you are not present to run them, that it just will continue to happen because people are naturally leading anyway. So like that, I think the best example of that has been in our Facebook group. Initially, it was me and like five people. Now it's like 330 or something like that. We've done like a really slow growth kind of thing, but it's active. I mean, there's people posting in there all the time. I hardly have to do it anymore. And so it's like, okay, how do you get people activated to get to keep engaged? And then for the weekly conversations, I think it's, again, you just have to identify core people that are just going to show up on a regular basis. And then occasionally not show up yourself, just so it like, it still happens and people understand what it's like without you being there.
Yeah.
And that can still exist even if you're not there.
That's a great point, Jordan. Yeah, test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan, that reminds me of something that you said earlier. From the start, if we're empowering people and giving people permission to pursue their ideas in relation to our movements, it sounds like we don't need to be doing too much delegating. And from the start, it's, hey, you have a great idea. Let's figure out a way to make it happen. You're the leader of it. This is, you have ownership of this. We're here to help. I imagine that'd be helpful as well.
I think we need a movement of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't need followers. We need people that are doing things themselves.
Completely.
And collaborate,
mm-hmm.
work with each other, but lead.
Yep.
Like every single person.
Yep.
Well said. Yep.
Beautiful. Well, fellas, go ahead, Jim.
That was part of the problem too. And even with the previous question, right, about how much you engage with city leaders, right? Too many of us sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, whether it's the politicians or somebody else leading. No, you're the leader. Mm-hmm. Get busy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the expert.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You'd be surprised. It's like that when someone's in the city, they're not necessarily an expert. They're a manager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're managing resources of the city.
Yep.
There's times where you will come in and talk to them and you will know more.
Exactly.
And just don't hold it above them, because all that's going to do is make them build animosity. It's how to use it as a moment to educate. And you can start to steer the city in the direction that is more of an incremental growth model.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a great point.
You can stitch things together that they can't, right? So especially if they work for the city, they have their limitations of their job, their departments, but you do not. you can bring a lot of different things together, and that's really powerful.
And going back to stepping up and being a leader, in my experience, you know, you may hesitate to not think that you're the right person to do this. The moment that you choose to step up and do it, I guarantee you there's like five or six people in your community that were thinking the same thing and are so happy to have someone who stepped up to be a leader in this, and immediately you have that tribe. So don't think that you're alone and feeling the way that you do about your neighborhood. Once you start something cool, there's going to be other people who are vibing with it and going to be overjoyed to join you.
And I think leadership is a self-identifying, I don't know if you call it an idea. Like, I have to lead. Like, I have to do the thing. No one's going to tell you, oh, you're the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, I mean, there might, people might vote you in or things like that, but you have to, like, make the steps to put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
So real leadership emerges.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, fellas, this has been a joy. I got a final question for you, and I'm going to answer a few more member questions just in regards to the technical side of starting a local conversation. Jim and Jordan, I want to know, looking back on these past months, years running your local conversations, what are the two or three elements that you think have made y'all successful? So for listeners who are interested in starting their own local conversation, I know we've highlighted a lot of great stuff, but pull out two or three things that you think would help the next group of local conversations be successful.
Yeah. I think number one has been a passion for seeing change. Just when you're starting anything, right, that isn't really straightforward, you need to start with that. You need to be honest with yourself, like I was with myself. You know, I wanted to see indie change in many specific ways, and nobody else was going to do it. So I had a passion to see it change, so I just went ahead and did it. That was one thing that led to success, right? And that leads to success because it also attracts the other people who are equally passionate. And what you need is momentum. And that's what we got. So it was a very authentic. Let's see, what else? I actually think the Facebook group, I kind of stumbled upon that. It was a friend of mine that helped me co-found Strong Indie that suggested it. And it was funny, at the time, I was trying to get rid of Facebook, and I had literally deactivated my account. And then I just had to bring it back for this Facebook group. I reluctantly did it, and then it just naturally kind of took on a life of its own, like Jordan said. And I couldn't deny it. I was like, wow, this is really strong. So that's tool-wise, that's indispensable.
Awesome. Jordan, what about you?
Persistence, just almost to an illogical, irrational level, persist. Just do the thing. You're going to fail a lot. That's just life. Just keep doing and iterating. If something doesn't work, you figure out a different way to do it. Like, that's just how it goes. The I think in trying to gather people, engage people, ask questions. Always be asking questions. I think Jim hit it on the head. Like, declarative statements end the conversation. That is keyed in as that's everything. You just have to be open and empathetic and asking questions and digging deeper and making connections. And then I think the final thing is, at the end of the day, you're building community.
Yep.
So if whatever you have to do to build community, like if you do that, you will cause activation. The space that we do our meetings is a brand new redevelopment of an older building, warehouse building. And it's like a shared space. It's got a coffee shop, few restaurants, things like that. And it's done wonders in a sense that it's created this sort of collective gathering space where people are coming together, sharing ideas, knocking into one another and things like that. And it's like, we have, I have meetings there because this is the sort of interactions I want to see all around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So this sort of community, how do we get this to happen on every corner,
in
every single park, and all over? And it's not something that money can buy. It takes strong, strong-willed citizens and really connect, or how should I say, interconnected ideas that come from conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Agreed. Yeah. And one more thing to add for success too is realize that you will outlive, as long as you have this passion and this grit, you will outlive pretty much anything, right? So you do not have to solve everything today or tomorrow, but if you're in it, you're in it, right? And you will outlive any election cycle, any specific politician, even a lot of specific entities. If you want to affect change and you keep these conversations going, you could have a group that's around for 200 years for all you know, you know, you just never know. And a lot can happen in 10, 20, 30, 200 years, right? Tons.
That's right. Well, thank you, fellas. That was wonderful. I got a few final member questions here. Just about the technical side of starting a local conversation. Someone asked, how do I see the map of existing local conversations and join them if they exist? Listeners, you can go to strongtowns.org/local. You will find a Google map of all of the existing local conversations. We're at 85 now, which is pretty cool. They meet on a variety of different platforms. Some do Slack. This is an online discussion board. Some do Facebook, as Jim and Jordan mentioned. Some meet on Meetup. Some meet in person. So once you find a local conversation in your place, click that pin, little pop-up window will appear. It'll give you all the other information you need about where they meet, the link to join the group. And then if you want to start your own local conversation on that same page, scroll down just a little bit more, and in all caps, big black button, you'll see add your group to the map. Click that button, just a basic form will appear. Give us your name of your group, where y'all meet, and we will get that local conversation added to the map. Jim and Jordan, thank you. This has been an absolute joy. I appreciate you guys sharing your stories with us, sharing your message. I know I'm inspired to share this message with Stronger Denton. We have a local conversation here. I imagine many of our listeners are excited to join existing local conversations, start their own. And again, listeners, if this is something that you're interested in doing, I hope this message was inspiring for you, because the barrier to entry is super low. If you have a passion and you're willing to get your peers together for just some raw, informal conversations, uplifting them to pursue the ideas that they have in their own neighborhood, that's all it takes. I'm here to help. The whole Strongtown staff is here to help. So please, if you have the slightest inkling or slightest curiosity to make this happen, I really encourage you to do so. You can make it happen at strongtowns.org/local. And then an additional incentive, soon we'll be releasing a new platform to better connect local conversations. So right now, just how we currently run it, most work in silos. You know, you have the Strongtown Sioux Falls Facebook group. You have Strong Indy Facebook group. They're doing excellent work within their communities, as we learned today. However, not many times have we seen local conversations working with one another. For example, say Jordan did this Citizen Taco event. Mm-hmm. That's an excellent idea that maybe Jim would like to know about and learn about how he can make that happen. So soon we'll be releasing a new platform to better connect our local conversations. You guys are the only way that we're going to grow this movement. You're the ones who believe in what we're doing, making it happen bottom up in your own communities. So if you're interested in making this happen, now is the time. Please holler at us. We'd love to help you get this going.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed that special episode with Jim and Jordan. And return next week, we'll be back to normal programming, if you will, with Thor Erickson discussing urban design, and how nonprofits can get involved in building strong places. Thanks, everyone. Talk soon.